This episode of Distraction is sponsored by Omega Bright CBD, formulated by Omega Bright Wellness, creators of the number one omega-3 supplements for the past 20 years. Omega Bright CBD, safe, third-party tested, and it works. Shop online at omegabrightwellness.com. And by Landmark College, offering comprehensive support for students with ADHD and other learning differences. Learn more at lcdistraction.org. Landmark College, the college of choice for students who learn differently.
Those with ADHD listening now, some of them will have to work very hard to turn what they hear into thoughts that they can comprehend. There's an extra process. And the reason for that is the very skill needed to turn sound waves into thoughts that are comprehended hasn't yet been fully developed. So it's hard work for them. So by the time I'm three sentences down the line, they are still working on sentence number one because they're having to work so hard. So they end up missing stuff. And then after a while, they're looking out the window because that's easier than trying to listen and comprehend.
Hello, this is Dr. Ned Hallowell, and welcome to Distraction. Today, we are having a guest on whom we had on only a few sessions ago, but we invited him to come back, and he kindly agreed because there were a lot of questions that we didn't get to ask him. Our guest is Winford Doar, the man who developed the innovative non-medication treatment modality for ADHD, dyslexia, dysgraphia, and various other conditions, an intervention that I've not been so enthusiastic about a new invention in all my years of working with people who have ADD. So I'm very, very excited about this. And he explained to us the science behind it and the procedure that goes into it in the last session. But we left out various questions, particularly, is this suitable for adults? So without my talking any further, because I'm eager to get to our guest, let me welcome my friend and colleague and wonderful genius innovator, Winford Doar, all the way from England. Winford, welcome.
How are you doing, Ned? Good to hear you.
You too. Well, let's just get right into it. One of the main symptoms that bring adults to see me is that they're underachieving. They have sort of unexplained underachievement, which is probably the lead symptom in children, but adults as well. And it's wonderful news when I get to tell them that it's not that they lack discipline or they lack ability, but they have a gift that is as yet unwrapped. And my term for ADHD. Is the Zing protocol appropriate for them?
Yeah, we've worked hard to make it achievable and affordable for everybody.
So the one session happens at, say, one of my offices, but then the actual treatment, the actual exercises are done at home in your living room or your bedroom or wherever you want to do them.
Well, it absolutely is. Let me just tell you about a story that I had just a few minutes ago, Ned. And it was a guy in his 30s. He's always dreamt of being a pilot, and he got so far in his tests, he could not pass the final test. And the examiners wanted him to pass because essentially he was a really, really good pilot, but there was something wrong with his processing. So his instructor happened to be an orthopedic surgeon that's also a flying instructor, and he'd heard of the program, and he sent him down to us, and 4 months later, I got the news today, he's passed his exams. What thrilled his examiner was that all of his processing had improved. Did we make him more intelligent? Absolutely not. But did we give him the ability to process what was happening in his brain faster and make decisions faster? Yes, we did. So that was just one example. But we've worked with people up to their 90s. In fact, a university recently did a study. So whatever age you are, unless you're well over 90 and getting extremely frail, there's a good chance that we can make a difference.
That's wonderful. And for people who didn't hear the previous podcast, give us just a quick synopsis of what the Zing program actually entails. What do you do?
the confusion that exists around both adults and children with ADHD is huge. It's worrying, it's stressful for them, because they start off life in school, and it's school. School assessments aren't geared up to measuring real intelligence or genius. It's geared up to measuring regurgitation in the main. So often adults with ADHD, they have this subconscious fear the whole time that their real intelligence was determined by how they did at school. And you know just as well as I, that's nearly always absolutely wrong. You know, what you call so beautifully, gifts waiting to be unwrapped. I think that's just the most amazing way of putting it. But the trouble is, people can go right through their lives without discovering what those gifts are. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And we want to take the chance out of that. So the program that I've worked for 20 years on developing now is based upon what we now know in science as how the brain acquires skills. So the things that hold people back are poor attention, poor reading, and both of those are very much skills, nothing to do with intelligence. So what I've worked on is a way of identifying where the potential is in the brain and giving people very specific, carefully chosen exercises, personalized to suit their brain, to develop the very bit of the brain that continues the development of those fundamental skills. So people that struggle with paying attention, they find they can pay attention more. Those who struggle with reading do so because of an eye movement skill that stops them taking in the letters and words in the right order. So we're stimulating that. The wonderful news is that is real news in the last few years, is that we now know that plasticity in the brain, that's the ability of the brain to acquire new skills, stays for the whole of our lives. So it's great hope. So we're exploiting that bit of science, and that now we know that it's possible to create change. We've created physical exercises that stimulate the brain in the right way. And you only have to do them for 10 minutes twice a day to create this huge difference in your brain's ability to process, to listen, to retain, to recall, to read, to write, and so on. These are all the fundamental skills that we love just making a huge difference.
Now, what are the exercises? Give some examples of the exercises.
Well, the exercises nearly always include an element of balance, which might seem a bit strange, but our balance organ, that's our inner ear. And if anyone's looked at any pictures of what happens in the brain, it's the squiggly bit behind our ear. Those balance organs put a stimulation to the very part of the brain that coordinates all activities in the brain. And so that part of the brain is called the cerebellum. I call it the skill center of the brain. But the balance organ is important. So most of our exercises involve several minutes of a balance stimulation, which can be jumping up and down, it can be standing on one leg, it can be turning round and round. But we always add another coordination exercise. We're stretching the brain, we're challenging the brain in a way that you don't do in your normal life to create the critical new brain cells in that cerebellum, in that skill center. So the exercises change every day. We're giving you what we regard as the right amount of stimulation. The right part of the balance system is being stimulated. The right coordination activity is being given. And we know, because we've dealt with now 50,000 people in total in the research I've been doing, collecting data on what is it that improves the skill development center within the brain. So balance exercises combined with coordination for 10 minutes twice a day, and typically 6 months, sometimes it's a bit longer, but typically this pilot that I'm just talking about, I got this great news from today, he's only been doing it 4 or 5 months, and it's made all the difference to him. So that's the kind of commitment. It's probably 40 or 50 hours of commitment spread over a few months that can make a lasting change to these fundamental brain skills.
And you do these exercises at home, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to go to a clinic or so on. I mean, I would urge people that are close to your centers to get to one of your centers, because I know you're installing the equipment now so you can do all of the fundamental testing. But if they can't reach one of your centers, then they can still do it. So, yes, you don't need to go to a clinic or a center.
But even if they come to one of my centers for an assessment, all the follow-up happens at home, so they don't have to keep coming into the office, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I got a picture last week of a lady doing it. She was actually a teacher, And she got involved because she came to hear one of my talks, and she got so excited, and she realized that she had got more potential. And so she was doing it in the classroom before the class started. So you don't need any special equipment. You don't need any special location. We give everything on us on your smartphone. So it tells you exactly what to do. It shows you what to do. It enables you to score it. And from that scoring, we can move on, move your program on every day.
It's just so exciting. You speak of ADHD as incompletely developed key skills. What do you mean by that?
When you're concentrating, whether it's visually or whether you're listening to something, you know, those with ADHD listening now, some of them will have to work very hard to turn what they hear into thoughts that they can comprehend. There's an extra process. And the reason for that is the very skill needed to turn sound waves into thoughts that are comprehended hasn't yet been fully developed. So it's hard work for them. So by the time I'm three sentences down the line, they are still working on sentence number one because they're having to work so hard. So they end up missing stuff. And then after a while, they're looking out the window because that's easier than trying to listen and comprehend. So that's a skill. And the same is true of reading. Those with reading issues virtually always have incompletely developed eye movement skills, visual skills, so that when they're reading, the letters are going in a scrambled order. The words are hard to comprehend. So they can be plenty intelligent enough to read, but the brain is not receiving the information properly because the skill of visually taking in information is itself not fully developed. Now, these are skills, and I want to separate the concept of having an incompletely developed skill well away from level of intelligence. I keep on meeting adults who are very bright, doing well in business because they've found their niche, but they still think they're not very bright because they don't read as well as others. So let's separate completely intelligence from skill development, and we are experts in that. We're world-class at skill development.
Well, I know because my son, Jack, some 15 years ago, when you had first developed this program, had a definite problem with reading. He could read. He was able to decode, but he'd read very, very slowly, and he hated reading. And it turns out it was because he was reading sort of one word at a time. It was an eye-tracking problem. And he did the exercise along with his mother. Sue, my wife, did it with him to get him to do it. And in 3 months, his hatred of reading had gone. He was able to sit down and read and not mind it. And my wife, Sue, had an unrelated problem in that she would drive over curbs and get flat tires, and she hasn't driven over a curb yet. So there must be some help with the depth perception built into this program as well.
When a skill is not fully developed, it's hard work. It means there's lack of automaticity in the skill. And when we've not got automaticity, it means it's very hard work. That skill is not performed consistently. It's not effortless, and it's slow processing. So whether it's reading, whether it's writing, whether it's listening, and for some, it's social skills. In some sports, it's the ability to play in a team, the ability to coordinate with your spatial awareness where all the other team members are. These are all skill issues which define us and can limit us.
The new test you've developed shows clearly the underlying reason for poor attention and poor reading ability. Now, explain how that works, because other people might explain it differently, but you're coming at it from a new angle, which makes this so exciting.
Ned, what I see is that people are so confused. There's so many high authorities issuing diagnoses, and we need diagnoses, but they issue diagnoses without ever identifying and pointing out what the root cause of the issue is. So because of all that confusion, I decided to get a team developing a test that would show people what is happening with your eyes when you try and read. And when you show mums or the sufferers themselves or teachers what's actually happening with the eyes, it's a huge aha moment, because suddenly they realize that instead of the eyes going smoothly along a line of text to take it in, it's jumping around. The letters are going in a scrambled order. And when you can see that on a screen, and that's what we do, we record eye movements when someone is trying to read. We play it back to them, and they go, oh, my goodness, now I understand why reading is a nightmare. And so we developed that test. We've got another test being developed now, which is all about doing the same for people when they are listening. And we're going to be showing them exactly which words they're taking in and which words they're not taking in, and showing exactly what happens when concentration is a challenge. So we're trying to debunk all of the myths and misunderstandings and just give people real visual representations.
Now, you talked about reading, but what about attention and organization? How does the cerebellum figure into attention?
The whole process of attention is controlled in our executive function. That's the bit at the front of the brain where we think. It's where our thinking brain is. In fact, it's the only bit of the brain we can access. It's where we make lists, where we make decisions, where we control everything. But if that is full because some of our basic skills aren't fully developed, so for instance, if reading or listening isn't fully developed, our thinking brain is full of processing stuff, stuff that shouldn't really be there. But that's the bit that controls our impulsivity, controls our attention, controls our decision-making. So if that's full of stuff that shouldn't be there, we end up with no control and our attention goes all over the place. Sometimes we'll be impulsive. Sometimes we'll make short-term decisions.
Okay, so let me interrupt you because I just want to cut to the chase. I can imagine listeners saying, okay, that's what ADHD is. I know what ADHD is. How in the world can doing balancing exercises help with that?
The exercises that we've developed increases the density of gray matter in the cerebellum.
So the cerebellum is this big two-lobed clump of neurons at the base of the brain on top of the brain stem. And cerebellum literally means little brain. And it's got two hemispheres like the big brain does. And it only occupies 10% of brain volume, but it actually contains 75% of the neurons in the brain. So it's incredibly important. And it's only recently, even when I was in medical school, I was not taught this. I was just taught that the cerebellum mediates balance and coordination. But it turns out, thanks to the research from Jeremy Schmalmann at Harvard Medical School, that the cerebellum is richly connected neural pathways to the prefrontal and frontal cortex, which is where the action is in ADD and executive function. So by doing exercises that stimulate the cerebellum, you are indirectly stimulating those parts of the prefrontal and frontal cortex. And you say you're actually also increasing matter in the cerebellum itself?
Yeah, there's research showing that we put more brain cells into that cerebellum, which is the brain within the brain, that creates more automaticity for all of those skills we need to use all the time. And the more automatic it is, the more we free up all of the stuff from that prefrontal cortex. So when we're stressed, when we're overloaded, when we can't organize, it's always because that prefrontal cortex is full of stuff, much of which needn't be there. So the direct link between what we do is that the cerebellum gets more effective, makes all of those skills we use all the time more hardwired, more automatic, so we don't have to think about them. And when we don't have to think about them, we're freeing up space in that. It's like the RAM. It's a place where we organize and think and make lists and so on, but it's also the place where incompletely developed skills are processed. So the cerebellum takes those away and gives us much more mental capacity, cognitive capacity. And that makes all the difference. It makes processing faster, easier, less stressful, less tiring, and so on.
And I can also imagine listeners saying to themselves, oh my gosh, okay, if I believe you, which I'm not sure I do because this is all new, but if I believe you that the cerebellum is that important, and if I believe the research that you're telling me has worked for 50,000 people in England, why on earth or how on earth, given how impatient I am, can you expect me to do 10 minutes of exercises twice a day for 6 months? That I can barely do something for 10 minutes twice a day for 2 days. So where's the motivation? Where's the discipline? And how am I supposed to take such a colossal leap of faith? Not to mention, it costs $2,000. So explain to them, you know, your experience with those obstacles.
Well, I would hate to get to my rocking chair in my 90s and realized that I'd got a huge amount of potential that I never bothered to develop, and I've gone right through my life only using part of the power of my brain. And many people, when they realize that, they actually want to do something about it. So 10 minutes twice a day for a few months is actually not a big investment. If you want to be more organized, less stressed, read easier, concentrate better, have more emotional control, these are all the direct consequences. So is it worthwhile to everybody? Do you know what? Probably not. But there's an awful lot of people, when they realize, when they see, why is it hard work for me to concentrate? Why is it hard work for me to read and to write? When they realize that there's very clear evidence showing that the root cause is clear, the solution is possible, they want it.
Yeah, no, I guess the final question would be, are you sure? And tell us about your experience over there. I mean, you're an honest man. What are the chances, if you really do put in the 10 minutes twice a day for 6 months, what are the chances you will see major improvement, not trivial improvement, but major improvement in focus, attention, reading, organization, and basically control over emotion and behavior?
Well, we're all always analyzing what we're achieving. And so the last analysis I've got showed that in the various skill areas we assess, and there's 6 or 7 depending on the age of the person, 95% of people will get 5 or more areas improve, which is huge. It's absolutely huge.
Name those areas. Name 5 of the what are the areas you get improvement in?
Auditory processing. That's the ability to listen quickly, take in quickly, and retain. Visual processing, which is the same for what you see, whether you're reading or just observing and retaining. And that was the issue with the pilot. His visual processing was impaired. There's concentration, the ability to maintain focus on something. There's memory recall, and there's emotional control. So those are 5. We actually collect data on other areas. And those are the key areas that people want to see results on.
50,000 people have worked the program, correct?
That's right. 45,000 worked with our initial program, and we've revised it significantly since, and we've got an up-to-date program, which is even more powerful and even faster, and another 5,000 have gone through that, and there's more and more enrolling all the time.
So tell me the results that you've gotten.
Well, first of all, we actually put a money-back guarantee on this. We've made it as affordable and low-cost as we've put a money-back guarantee because it's so rare for someone not to get significant benefit.
If they do the exercises, you've got to add that caveat, right?
Yeah, the caveat is they've got to do the exercises, but if they comply with the exercise program reasonably, then they will get results. It's a bit like if you go to the gym every day for 6 months and you lift weights, do you know what? Your arm muscles are going to get a lot bigger. Well, we have exactly the same with the cerebellum, with the brain. We know if you do these exercises, you are going to get more cognitive strength. So the science behind it is solid. The results are solid. We're very sincere and authentic about what we do. So we only want to help people. We only want to change their lives.
The success rate is what?
Over 95%. In fact, I'm reading a study, in the middle of reading it now, a study that's been done on 1,000 people, and there's 97% success rate in this particular study I'm reading right now. And it's showing all sorts of amazing things that I'm told have never been seen before in brain development, and that is the people with the biggest need makes the biggest progress and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to sharing this research with you very shortly, Ned.
And then when you say success, how are you defining success?
We define success as that people have to notice for themselves the success that we can actually measure. So if you can't measure it, then it's not success. So we have to make a noticeable difference that is seen in the scores. So people score every month how they're doing. And so we have neurological tests, and then we have their own subjective tests.
And this is all done over the computer while they're doing the exercises, right? So they don't have to go anywhere to get tested.
No, not at all. Twice a day they do the tests. They're shown what to do on their smartphone. Once a month they do tests on their tablet or their laptop, and they see the results. So they get a progress report every month. They do it at home, and they get the results at home. And we also send a video explaining their results. So it's a complete audit trail of exactly how they are doing all through the program. We're completely open about everything because we want people to change their attitudes about themselves. So many people with ADHD or dyslexia, they actually have lower self-esteem than they deserve because they know for them, some things that are easy for others are harder for them. And that affects their self-esteem. And the wonderful thing about when you work with a cerebellum and you create more automaticity, you make things more effortless. And neurologically, you get the foundation for a higher level of confidence and self-worth.
There's no doubt that improving your performance improves your confidence and self-esteem. I'd add one point. If people wanted results faster, they could always give medication a try while they're doing the exercises, because medication works right away. It works within a matter of hours. And if you're one of the people, one of the 80% of people who medication will help, you could start on medication to see some quick results. And then as you did the exercises, come off the medication as the exercises began to produce their benefit. There's no problem with taking medication while you're doing the Zing program, correct?
Not at all. It's very synergistic. It works together. And we've had countless people, children and adults, doing that. My stories around this come more from children than adults, but often at the end of the school holidays, when mum has stopped giving them the medication and they've been doing the program for a while, they realize, actually, oh, they're not as hyperactive anymore, and maybe we don't need to continue. So they go back to their psychiatrist and they start the process of reducing the dose and coming off it.
Well, I think the big need, you know, everyone wants a non-medication treatment, and this is the best one that I've seen in my entire career. Everyone wants that. The big need is with adults, because 80% of the adult population is not treated, diagnosed or treated. So there's a tremendous need there. I know you got interested in this because of children and your daughter, and your focus has been on children, and goodness knows children are, you know, our most important citizens. But the adults out there who are frustrated and underachieving probably don't know they have ADHD. They've been given a diagnosis of depression or anxiety, if anything, or they self-diagnose as lacking discipline or not being that bright. And if they get the good news of this diagnosis, then they can start a comprehensive treatment program, maybe try medication if they're interested in that. If they're not, then just go straight to the exercise program, the Zing program, and, you know, just be patient, because it'll take a few months before you begin to see the results.
Well, many start seeing results in 3 to 4 weeks, but it is a process. It is not as easy as taking a pill. But it does create a lasting result. You know, when you change the cerebellum, you change it for the rest of your days or until you go into decline in old age. It's a bit like when you learn to ride a bike. When you learn to ride a bike, you don't forget it. The cerebellum has done its job, and you can put your bike away for 25 years like I did, but you take your bike out and you've still got that skill. So we are creating lasting change, and that's very, very thrilling. So is it as good as a pill? It's not as fast, but it lasts an awful lot longer.
Oh, yeah. No, pill is just, medication is just symptomatic treatment. This is getting at underlying causes. You know, it's very exciting. So if somebody listening wants to get more information, or they actually want to sign up for the program, how do they do that, Winfred?
Well, I think you're going to put a link beneath the invitation to this podcast, and they can click on that, and that will take them to a landing page on your website where they can hook up and do the necessary paperwork. And I'm looking forward to seeing them join this program, find their potential, and all of the other precious gifts that have stayed wrapped up.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. And people I've talked to about it, you know, of course, at first they're saying, what? But then as they understand it and hear about your experience and realize that, you know, you've been at this for quite a while and you're a man of tremendous integrity, they're eager to give it a try. You know, there are similar programs. I mean, yours costs $2,000. There's another one called Brain Balance that costs $10,000. The problem with Brain Balance is you have to go there. I mean, it's also a very good, it's a good program rooted in similar principles. The man who developed it is an excellent person who's worked hard for many years to create his program, his protocol. So you're not the only person It's just, I think your particular protocol is the most streamlined, and you've really had people refining it for years now so that it's user-friendly, which is another big deal. You know, things, it's like if a medicine doesn't taste good, doesn't matter how effective it is, kids won't drink it. And the adults, I'm just hoping the adults listening will sign up, because this is a way to unlock your potential. And, you know, and many, millions and millions of adults go to the gym for an hour a day to do just that. Well, this is 10 minutes at home twice a day, and it really is more brain-specific than just physical exercise.
Well, as you know, it is something that does run in families a little bit.
Oh, a lot. This is highly heritable. This is among the most heritable conditions in all the behavioral sciences.
So I'd encourage anybody that's got a child that is also struggling to do exactly what your wife and your son did, and that's do it together, because the thrill, the bonding that takes place, the excitement of finding you both got the same challenges and you're both making the same sort of progress and breakthroughs in your life. So it's really thrilling for dad and son, or dad and daughter, or mum and son, or whatever, to do it. So I'd encourage anybody like that. Look for the same things in your child. Take responsibility. You'll feel so good about helping that child and yourself reach your full potential.
Winfred Doerr, I am so grateful. I know you've got a radio interview you have to do in about 10 minutes, so I'm going to let you go. But my gosh, you are such an innovator, and you've been at this for a long time, and I think you've really unwrapped a gift to give to the people who want to unwrap their own gifts, and a way to do it that does not require much skill or any skill or much effort.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, my friend and colleague Winfred Doerr from the United Kingdom. I'm really tickled to be able to bring his work to the American audience. And please be in touch with me. If you want to learn more about the Zing program, go to distraction.zingperformance. That's Z-I-N-G. And the word performance.com. So it's distraction.zingperformance.com. And they've created a specific landing page for our listeners. So it'll bring you to one of my centers if you want to come have an assessment. You can always do it without the assessment if you live far away. But the assessment just adds something to it. Think about it. Check it out. Again, distraction.zingperformance.com. And of course, we would love to hear from you anytime. Please, thoughts, ideas, comments, praise, criticism, contentious remarks, foment rebellion, do whatever you'd like, but we'd love to hear from you. So connect at distractionpodcast.com. We're all ears, eager to hear from you. This is Dr. Ned Hallowell for Distraction. Distraction is produced by Sounds Great Media. Our producer is the irreplaceable, irascible, incredibly difficult, complicated Sarah Gerton. I take all that back. I didn't mean a word of it. She's divine. And our sound engineer and jack of all trades is the unbelievably intelligent and brilliant Pat Keough. The episode of Distraction you just heard was sponsored by Omega Bright CBD, formulated by Omega Bright Wellness, creators of the number one omega-3 supplements for the past 20 years. Omega Bright CBD, safe, third-party tested, and it works. Shop online at omegabrightwellness.com.